everyone, and welcome to episode 316 of NWR Connectivity. I am your host, Matt Zawadniak, and with me, as always, is Joe DeVader.
Hi.
And joining us today is the regular Connectivity editor, Alex DeFreitas.
How's it going?
So we are back once again with another installment of the Castlevania Game Boy Advance Game Club. This time for Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance. And Alex, you were not with us last time. So as sort of a groundwork laying kind of thing, what is your history and experience with Castlevania?
This is my first one. This is my first Castlevania game. And it, you know, it's an honor to be here to share my experience with Harmony of Dissonance for the Game Boy Advance. No, I think I probably played maybe like half a level of the original NES Castlevania, but those are difficult. So
that boy, you're telling me.
And I have a PS Vita and I have Symphony of the Night on it just in case. And I've played like 3 minutes of it. That's basically my entire experience with Castlevania. I definitely know a whole lot about it because of Osmosis. But otherwise, yeah, this is my first time really experiencing a game. And even then, I did not finish it.
Yeah, so I think we should get good. We should get out in front of that. I'm the only one here that finished the game.
Yeah, I didn't dig it. It's a lot better than Circle of the Moon.
Yeah, I genuinely cannot tell how because I like this game quite a bit. I can't tell how much of that is just, oh, thank God it's not Circle of the Moon.
Which is interesting because I listened to your episode, obviously because I edited it, but the game, like, there's a lot of overlap between the issues you guys brought up in Circle of the Moon and the issues I have with Harmony of Dissonance.
So you're right, but there's so much worse in Circle of the Moon.
In Circle of the Moon, it also feels bad to move.
Yes.
Unlike Harmony of Dissonance, it actually, you know, movement feels pretty fluid. The whip
feels
a lot better.
Yeah, so like the basic mechanics, they feel really good to me. And you start out at the beginning of the game, like you can actually run, which you can't do at the start of Circle of the Moon. And not only that, but the whip has like a really satisfying snap to it. It feels like it has good timing, good hitboxes. And with the L and R buttons, you can do a dash forward and back, which completely cancels whatever animation you're in, even if you're in the middle of swinging your whip, which I found was incredibly useful during boss fights because it meant that I could react to boss attacks a lot better. And that made me enjoy boss fights in Harmony of Dissonance way, way more than Circle of the Moon because they felt a lot more engaging, even if there were a lot of them actually in this game.
There are, yes.
There's just a lot of enemy variety in general. And that's probably just something from Castlevania or Symphony of the Night in general.
A lot of the enemies are straight from Symphony of the Night. This is in a lot of ways an attempt on directly following up Symphony of the Night, which is funny because Circle of the Moon pretty clearly was too.
Yes.
But Harmony of Dissonance, I would say, is more directly inspired by Symphony, where Circle tried to, I don't want to say evolve on the formula because it kind of like felt like a demake of Symphony of the Night in a way.
Sure.
The thing that you can really see the Symphony of the Night in, like, just from visuals alone, is the after image when Juist runs. I assume that's how his name is pronounced. I never looked it up, and I don't plan to.
I've just been saying Juist.
Juist?
That's probably wrong.
Probably.
I like Juist because it makes me think of like you've juiced a fruit, like in the past tense.
So
Belmont Juist, my favorite juice.
Mm-hmm. So going by the katakana, it is probably Juist.
Nice. Okay, cool. Perfect.
What does the Smash Brothers Palutena's Guidance say?
Wait, is he mentioned in Palutena's Guidance?
Yeah, there's that moment where I can't remember if it's in, I think it's in Simon's, where like Palutena just names every Belmont.
Well, yeah, because for Richter, it's Alucard talking to them, so which is cool, by the way.
And this one is a canonical Belmont.
Yeah, this one's canonical. This one didn't get Circle of the Moon, you're not even playing as a fucking Belmont.
Oh, nice.
Shit. They don't name every Belmont. I was wrong. They just name the first and the last.
Mm. You could see visually the Symphony of the Night in this game like immediately because that after image when he runs is also a Symphony of the Night thing, which makes a little more sense when it's you playing as a vampire man. But hey, you know what? I'll take it. Also, if you equip like cloaks that are colored in your armor, it changes the color of your after image, which both me and Matt had the same experience of, wait, why the fuck is my after image red now? Hold on, what? And I don't remember how I figured out why that was. But in terms of like finding, when you do find stuff, it does feel like you are finding more useful shit than you found in all of Circle of the Moon.
Mm-hmm. And I would say I even like the finding stuff in this better than I liked it in Symphony of the Night, because you do find equipment upgrades in Symphony of the Night, but for the most part in this game, it's the minor upgrades of increasing your magic, increasing your health, increasing your hearts, which I never felt were quite powerful enough to be satisfying, but it was sure a lot better than in Symphony of the Night, where I would beat a super difficult boss and my reward was a sword that was weaker than the one I already had.
And also, it has the best sub-weapon that Castlevania's ever had.
Oh, is it the JoJo one?
It's the JoJo one. The fist is lit. He even says, it's so blatantly JoJo.
Yeah, that is the JoJo reference. Which wow. is kind of, Castlevania is kind of just a JoJo reference.
A little bit, yeah. The Belmonts and the Joestars ain't that different.
No. So this game also, in addition to just like feeling a lot better, it also has much better like exploration than Circle of the Moon did, because you don't run into this problem as much. It's still kind of there, but you don't run into that issue where you just get the same like three screens copy pasted over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. You get like an actual castle layout, which in my opinion breaks down a lot once you throw in the second castle and have to navigate way, way too big of a space. But the level design makes logical sense in a much better way.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes you need to like warp in order to get to the area that you're heading it towards, but
which speaking of warping,
yeah.
I still don't know how I didn't have this problem, because both of you did. And when I hear it described, it's like, actually, yeah, no, that, huh. So there's a point, as Matt mentioned, there's a second castle. You learn that there is a castle A and a castle B, which is stupid, but whatever. And the first time you hear about this, is from Death in front of a mirror, and he's like, well, I'm gonna go to the other castle now, bye. And then the animation it shows looks like he is locking that mirror.
Yeah, and you walk into the room and it, like, the mirror is visibly there and open, and then he's like, screw you, Belmont, you're a nerd. And then he goes into the mirror and then you see it close.
You see like six doors close over it.
Yeah.
But it's not closed. If you hit up, you go to the other fucking mirror, the other castle. And it's, I don't understand how, first of all, again, I don't understand how the fuck I didn't have that problem.
Yeah, I genuinely that feels like don't you would know. Definitely have that problem, but I don't.
Yeah, I spent upwards of an hour just like wandering and be like, there's got to be a way to open this mirror, right?
I did too.
But like, how did playtesters not tell them that?
Something I ran into a lot is just like, You'll run into a dead end or some sort of locked door. And Metroid has kind of taught me that, like, if you poke around near that area, you'll find something to break through it. You know, you don't always have to, like, go to the other side of the entire planet, or in this case, castle, in order to find a solution. And so I just felt so, like, lost in this game. The game gives you no information, no, like, waypoint. The map is there to kind of show you where you can and where you can't go. But even then, the information isn't all that clear, because sometimes a dead end is just a dead end. A locked door is just a locked door. And there's nothing around it to suggest that you're close to a solution. And so I kind of gave up halfway through once, like, you get to the second castle, because it's telling you in the pause screen, in the map screen, what percentage of the castle you've done. And I reached like an 80% point. It was like, okay, cool. I'm pretty close. I'm kind of stuck in a few places, but I'm almost to 100%. And then you get that second castle and the game expects you to, it's like another 100% on top of that. I just reached halfway point and I was just like, I'm so done and I'm so lost.
And to make matters worse, like you can explore an incredibly large amount of that, yes, that second castle as soon as you get to it,
right,
which means you just immediately get overwhelmed where it's like, I don't know where progress is because there's so much of this map that I have to fill in. And then, like, once you do get a new item, because there's not that natural progression of, okay, there's somewhere nearby I need to use this, it runs into the problem of, okay, now I need to go to every corner of the map,
yep,
to figure out what to do. And the point that I gave up, I didn't find any warps over on the left side of either castle. I think I found one on the left side of castle B, but not on the left side of castle A. And of course, on the left side, you have to, like, there's not a warp between castle A and B until you get another upgrade later on that I didn't have yet. So it just ran into this problem where, like, I had to go from one end of the map to the other multiple times, and that's like a 15-minute process one way.
And so, like, that's also a problem that Circle the Moon had, which can be solved very easily. Just fucking label the map in game.
Yes,
I get,
please.
I get it. It's a GBA game. I get it. There's not a lot of screen real estate. You know, colored line.
You know what else is a Game Boy Advance game? Two different Metroids.
Yep.
Like, I just put a colored line to say, like, oh, this thing is here, or like a box, something. Put something on the fucking map.
I would say for this game, while I don't think I really dig it, and I would not say I even care to go back and finish it, it's a big contrast to Circle of the Moon, where it's like, I can see why someone likes this. I don't, like, it's just a little, it's too cumbersome for me, but there is a lot of really satisfying progression with the way that combat works in every room, where you do actually have to put in a decent effort to fighting enemies across rooms. And that's very different from Metroid, for example, where you can just blaze through any room and just eat enemies for breakfast. You never get to that overpowered, nothing can stand up to me way that Metroid does in Castlevania. And I see the appeal in that. Do you guys kind of like agree that you can see the appeal?
I mean, I enjoyed it. I liked the game.
If I played this game back on the GBA when it was more impressive to me, then sure, yeah. I wouldn't give it the 87 that it has on Metacritic, but
yeah, I don't know if I would rate it that highly, but like I said, I enjoyed Harmony of Dissonance.
I don't know. It's just, I think the issue that I'm having is that it has so much backtracking of you without any real, like, waypoint or any sort of indication of where you're supposed to go, but also doesn't make the backtracking easy. All the enemies pose a threat, and that's cool in a game where you're not supposed to backtrack, but when you're backtracking all the time, like, it becomes daunting to just move through the castle and explore. And with Metroid, like, you can just speed boost through enemies, or like when you get the wave beam, or the freeze beam. Like, there are so many things when you get an upgrade, it makes going back through those areas easier. And with Castlevania, or at least with Harmony of Dissonance, that's not the case. And that was really frustrating.
So the main thing about this, I think the best example of the whole, like, please just put a label somewhere, put a waypoint somewhere, is I believe both of you made it to the point where Maxim, who's Juice's friend, gives him a bracelet and it's like, this will unlock the door where our girlfriend is being kept.
Yeah, I think the last cutscene I got was like when she was kidnapped.
So he gives you his bracelet, and that bracelet opens one door on the entire map, and it does not tell you what door it is.
Mm.
it opens a single door. You have to have it equipped in order for it to work and let you into that door.
Oh.
And it's
a piece of equipment, too. You need to unequip something that you have.
Yeah, so you want to hear how it gets worse later?
Oh, sure.
So I rolled credits. This game has two endings. So this is something that Symphony of the Night kind of did, too, but it was more the, if you didn't do this, the game would just end and you wouldn't go to the reverse castle. Yeah. So you are supposed to go down to the bottom and you go fight the final boss, who is Evil Maxim. It's the Maxim who's been mean and evil the whole game because he's possessed by Dracula. The
true self.
Yeah. And you beat the shit out of him and then he fucking dies. And then Lydia also fucking dies. It cuts to Juice outside of the castle. The castle disappears, and Juice is like, oh God, I'm such a terrible vampire hunter. Everyone I know is dead. Ah. And then the credits roll.
I fought that guy. Are you telling me there's another fight with that guy? I thought I did fight the Evil Maxim.
You did. There's another fight with him.
Oh, good.
Credits roll after that. Credits roll after Juice talks about how all his friends have died. And then that's it. That's the end. What you're supposed to do is you are supposed to equip not just Maxim's bracelet, but Juice's bracelet too.
From the start of the game.
From the start of the game, the default equipment that is on him when you start the game.
I have a feeling I know the answer to this question, but Joe, when did they tell you this?
Never. They don't.
That's what I figured.
And if you do that, then when you beat Maxim, he snaps out of it and forces Evil Maxim out of him. And then you fight Dracula and then everybody escapes. And it's a happy ending where it definitely sure does seem like they both just want to get into Lydia's pants. And then it ends. Then the credits roll. It's the funniest bad ending I've ever seen outside of like the Return of the Obra Dinn. It's so like, oh man, you must have really fucked up, huh? And it's not like, it doesn't give any hints about it. It's not like I made a wrong decision in a text tree or some shit. It's, I wasn't wearing these two bracelets that I had honestly forgotten I had 2 hours ago. I guess all of Juice's friends are dead now.
That's something, Jesus.
Is there something about the bracelets that just like snaps Maxim out of it?
It's just that you're wearing it and he sees the bracelet and is like, you wore that for me. And then you fight Dracula. That's how Harmony of Dissonance ends.
Oh my God.
I mean, Maxim is an idiot anyways. Like, he's going around picking up the remains of Dracula just because.
Maxim is almost as, what was the dude's name for Circle of the Moon? I don't even fucking remember. The friend who is never not an asshole until like the end of the game and the game expects you to care about him. Maxim is a little bit better than that because Maxim, at least for most of the time when you're interacting with him, he's like, oh man, yeah, I know I fucked up and this is my fault and I'm going to help fix this. But also just like, yeah, this is your fault. You did fuck up.
I'm looking this up and it's looking like the way you're supposed to know about how to get the true ending is that when you get the bad ending, Juice is like, oh man, all I have left to remember Maxim is a bracelet.
Wow.
I don't remember that line of dialogue at all, but I'd believe it.
Yeah. This game absolutely just doesn't want to give you any information at all.
And that's a problem that Symphony has too, like really badly. And obviously that was a problem that Circle of the Moon had even worse than this, if you can believe it.
I picked up multiple rings and I didn't know like whether or not they were equipable, like equipment, like armor, or if it was a relic, because there is a ring that is a relic and there are multiple rings that are equipment. And it just,
oh God, yeah, that happens so much.
Doesn't tell you.
Well, the best part about picking up a relic is that it doesn't tell you it's a relic at the beginning, but it also doesn't tell you what it does. So you pick up that lizard tail, one of the first power-ups you pick up, and I had to go into the goddamn pause menu to learn that it gave me a ground slide, because I guess somebody thought, yeah, that's intuitive. They'll know. They'll know. No!
I'm thinking back to the Halcyon days when we complained about Super Metroid, like literally 15 years before this game, not telling you everything.
Yeah, no, Super Metroid tells you so much more.
Well, yeah, but like you've pointed out, like both of you have pointed out, the reason that Metroid can do that essentially is because as you get stronger, going backtracking through locations just becomes a fucking cakewalk.
Yeah.
Nothing can touch you. Whereas in this game, yeah, you can level up and you can get stronger. And I did get to the point where, like, for a majority of places, like, very quickly, I was killing Axe Knights with one whip swing, which is, feels wrong and incorrect, but I'll take it. But it's still just this pain in the ass because you can't just skip around these enemies. A lot of them are too big for you to jump over, even if you get the double jump. You can't just skip the enemies. And then there's also multiple areas where even if you could skip the enemies, it doesn't matter, because in Castlevania tradition, there are places where, like, oh, you want to not have infinitely spawning Medusa heads? Then you're playing the wrong game, yeah. Idiot.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not about, like, being strong enough to fight the enemies. It's just there's seven harpies around me, and I just want to get to the next room. Please, let me get to the next room.
And like Matt mentioned this very briefly at the very beginning, it is better than Circle of the Moon, where in Circle of the Moon, if an enemy was anywhere but right in front of you, good fucking luck hitting it with the whip. Whereas in this game, though, where Nathan's whip seems to have a hitbox that only comes out like at the end of the animation for some stupid reason, Juice's whip always has a hitbox, and that includes when he's drawing it back. So you can hit things behind you.
Yeah, that does feel good.
Which is great. It feels fantastic. It's how Nathan's whip should have felt.
So, Joe, since you're the one that is here saying, like, you know, you did enjoy the game, we've spent a lot of time being negative. So, like, what's the appeal? What are me and Alex missing here?
It's not Castlevania Circle of the Moon. That's the first bullet point on the list.
Did you like it more than Symphony of the Night?
Yeah, I think so, simply because it still doesn't have, like Matt mentioned, one of Symphony's biggest problems is that you'll get through entire areas and beat entire bosses, and all you get is a sword, and usually it's not even a sword that's better than the one you're currently using.
Hmm.
But this game doesn't have that. When you find, like, combat upgrades in this game, it's whip tips, essentially. And some of them are, like, straight damage upgrades, but there's also ones that, like, add elemental affinity. So it's not like you are finding a weapon that is stronger. It does encourage a lot more planning, even though the game will never tell you that you're hitting something with its weakness. I don't even know if they have weaknesses. I don't know if that's a thing in this game. I just assume it is, because otherwise that'd be stupid.
Yeah, I would just see numbers and be like, I think that's a critical hit, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I genuinely do not know if there are actually, like, elemental weaknesses in Harmony of Dissonance.
You guys are the ones that played a version that has the manual included.
Actually, it doesn't. What? So you mentioned the encyclopedia last time. That's not the manual. That's just an encyclopedia where go look at enemies.
I thought there were manuals included.
I mean, if there are, I still haven't found them. There could be. I just still haven't found them. When I looked at the encyclopedia while playing this game, it was literally just like a gallery of enemies.
Yeah, this says that it has the instruction manuals for these games.
Hmm. I have to look harder then.
Maybe you have to unlock them. That'd be the dumbest thing in the world.
Fucking hope not.
I hope so. That'd be great.
Considering these games seem to have been designed with, like, look at the manual and learn things. But I think, like, in terms of you actually getting stronger, I think there is that progression. Not in the same way as Metroid, obviously, as we've said multiple times, but you just get a lot more sort of quote-unquote options, even though you're always using the same move. You're always just using and you can do the Super Castlevania 4 thing, where you put out the whip, and then if you hold the button, it just
yeah
sits there. And you could just
I call it the chic move.
Yeah, it's not good. Never do it.
yeah, it's not really worth it, but
I appreciate that it's there. And like I said, I think the overall story and characters are better in this game than Circle of the Moon. Maybe not as good as Symphony of the Night, because unless your game has Maria Renard in it, it just, you're not going to have a better game. She's the best Castlevania character still, undefeated. Specifically, though, her like 11-year-old telling Dracula she doesn't understand what that means.
Version I was going to say, Maria. She is in Symphony of the Night.
She is, yes. Where she's an adult. And that's cool, but not as cool as the 11-year-old.
11-year-old Maria does briefly appear at the beginning if you're bad.
Oh, that's true. Forgot about that. But like, Maxim's motivations at least make sense. I assume you both saw the explanation that he gives, which is like, I went out and I gathered Dracula's remains because I kind of wanted to help Juice shoulder the burden of being the next Belmont. And that makes sense. And you can see why he would do that. It's a stupid fucking idea, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense how he would get to that. Meanwhile, in Circle of the Moon, you have Nathan's friend who's just like, they gave you the whip, not me. And now
what? I don't even remember his name from Circle of the Moon. Either. But he was such an asshole.
I've been trying to remember his name this entire fucking time.
Like, his entire motivation was, my dad likes you more than he likes me.
And that's bullshit.
Hugh Baldwin?
Hugh, right, his name is Hugh. What a bad name for a Castlevania character.
You know, has there ever been a good character named Hugh?
No.
Fire Emblem 6. That's a pretty good Hugh.
He's
only a mage.
I've blocked Fire Emblem 6 out of my memory.
He actually sucks as a human being, but he's got a good design.
The only other Hugh that I can think of is from Pokemon, and he sucks.
Oh, this guy. Yeah, he has a really good design. He also sucks.
Yes, he does suck.
But like, the other issue with the narrative, though, is that Lydia might as well not exist. She's just there to be like, oh, we gotta save her.
Yeah, every time you mention her, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't need to be in this plot. Literally, the plot can just be, oh, Maxim accidentally brought Dracula back early. I guess we have to deal with that. But no, now it has to be our love triangle third angle is it was kidnapped, and she'll get 4 lines in the entire game and be unconscious almost the entire time she's on screen for the, I want to say, total of 35 to 40 seconds that she gets of screen time in the entire game.
That's generous.
Even with the ending.
Maybe it was all a setup to just say Lydia's in another castle.
Maybe. I mean, she was technically.
That is true.
But like, it's, she is such a nothing character. Like in Symphony of the Night, when you're going to save the person that has been kidnapped by Dracula, at least it's Richter fucking Belmont, and I actually care.
According to Koji Igarashi, Juiced and Maxim received their respective bracelets from Lydia.
Oh, their friendship bracelets.
Oh, she has a dialogue page.
How many lines is it?
I don't even know what she looks like, to be honest with you guys. I never ran into her.
So you only run into her conscious twice, which is one when you go into the room that Maxim's bracelet unlocks, and the second is the ending. I believe you see her one other time, and she's knocked out cold the entire time.
So this dialogue page is literally not finished. It only has her first scene. I guess they just didn't care enough.
Well, that's okay, because neither did the writers of Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance. Lydia is a nothing character, and she shouldn't be in this game. Like, at least if you're gonna give me a fucking damsel in distress, let her do something. Let her be in the game's plot. Come on.
Apparently there are three endings. You can get the bad, you can get different bad endings depending on whether you're in Castle A or B.
Huh. Yeah, I only saw, I don't remember what castle I would have been in. Did they both end with Juice saying, oh no, all my friends are dead?
That is only the Castle B ending, because Lydia survives in the other one.
Is the worst ending where you don't have either bracelet?
No, it's the both endings are just you don't have both bracelets, and it's just different based on what castle you're in.
Which castle? Okay.
In other words, you're saying the Castle A bad ending is actually the best ending, because look, I'm not one to judge, except I am, so I'm going to. Maxim deserves it.
He did fuck up.
He kind of deserves to disappear with this castle. It's his, the entire plot of this game is his fault. It's all his fault.
It is kind of objectively his fault. You know, there's really not a lot of argument on that one.
There was supposed to be like, I don't know, a decade or two before Dracula came back. But no, Maxim
I want to say like, oh, I mean, you know, he meant well, but like he meant well by gathering Dracula's remains, which is very well documented as being the way that you revive him.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucking, it's so stupid. It's
like, did he talk to literally anyone about this plan?
Apparently Lydia, because she was with him for some reason.
Isn't there like an elder Belmont that could be like, no, dude, that's a stupid decision.
Where does this fall on the timeline? Is this after, who would have been the Belmont before this?
Probably some nameless schmuck.
Simon Belmont is the grandfather.
Simon Belmont's the grandfather. Oh, so this is pre-Richter.
Richter, I think, is decently late in the timeline.
Oh, yeah. Simon's like Richter's great, great, great grandfather or some shit. Oh,
Jesus, this timeline goes into 2037 AD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're almost there.
Finally, we'll be able to get away from Castlevania. When was the last time we had a year where Castlevania didn't have a spot on it for the timeline? Oh, never. Okay.
Let's see here. Harmony of Dissonance took place in 1748, with Simon's Quest being 1698.
Okay.
And then Rondo of Blood is 1792, so it's not very long after this.
Hmm.
And then Circle of the Moon is 1830, but that one doesn't count. And then Aria of Sorrow is going to be 2035.
Yeah, I actually just looked that up. Of like, yeah, this goes all the way to 2035. That's the game we're playing
next. Aria of Sorrow is set in 2035?
Yep. Hell yeah, it is, baby. We're going to the future.
Is that like a reveal that we're not supposed to know?
I have no idea.
We don't even know when the game we just played takes place.
Fair. That's true. The game just might not even say anything about that. I know the date's never mentioned in this fucking game at all.
I think it is like in the opening crawl.
I think overall, here's the thing. If this game was just a regular Castlevania game, like a 2D pre-Metroidvania Castlevania game, it'd be the best playing one.
Back when Castlevania was good, I agree.
Like it would be better than Rondo of Blood, and Rondo of Blood is a damn good game. But since it is a Metroidvania, oops.
Yeah, I have not liked the post-Symphony Castlevanias nearly as much as I like the ones before.
To give it one more boost, like one last good thing to say about it, the like environmental stuff in some of the rooms is really good. Like there's one room where you're kind of supposed to use an elevator, and so you turn a crank and then the room fills up with blood and it raises the platform, and then you get to the top and there's just like this monster that was absolutely crushed by the lever that you pulled. And that's a pretty cool little bit of environmental storytelling. There's also this one room where like I pushed an armor, like a really giant armor, into another thing of like crushing gears, and that actually gave me the best armor that I had up to that point. So yeah, there's some cool ideas in some of these very specific rooms.
And visually, this game is pushing the limits of the GBA.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does look really good. I enjoyed it. Does not push the limits of the Switch though.
So that's actually an interesting point of comparison where, so I played like the Game Boy Advance version with in circumstances that best replicated what it looked like on a Game Boy Advance screen, but you guys had like the Castlevania Advance collection on modern systems, with which are just like the sprites as they were drawn appearing on a modern TV. And it's interesting the contrast in that, because Circle of the Moon, we didn't really talk about this because I don't think we realized, but when that game first released, there was a big problem with the color palette, where because it was like very dark and subdued, it was incredibly difficult to see on a Game Boy Advance screen, which is something that nowadays on the Advance collection isn't a problem because it's a backlit HD TV. And now in Harmony of Dissonance, you kind of get the opposite, where there's so many bright saturated colors everywhere that I think kind of loses the atmosphere a lot.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't sure if I was exactly struck by it, except there are some enemies that are like just solid, like lime green or solid pink. And it's just like, that doesn't look super gothic. Looks kind of weird. I did think that the trail that Juice leaves behind seemed like maybe a concession for the GBA screen, but y'all seem to mention that it's more that's of a Symphony of the Night thing.
I mean, it's not that bright in Symphony of the Night.
Okay, yeah, because it seemed pretty bright to me. It's like,
It's a lot more. It's a lot more transparent as well in Symphony.
And that's something specifically that, like, on the Game Boy Advance screen or like a filter that replicates its color scheme, it actually looks pretty good. This is a game that was designed to be seen on a Game Boy Advance screen. And to my knowledge, I don't think the Advance collection has an option to replicate that at all.
I don't think so, no. It's got like methods that it can render them, but there's no like CRT filter or anything like that.
Which I feel like a lot of Game Boy Advance games kind of need that filter nowadays more than anything, because they were designed for a screen that didn't have a backlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, kids, if you're ever thinking about how bad you have it now, remember there used to be a time where you couldn't play your video games at night on your handheld because they didn't light up. Backlights were a luxury, children.
Yeah, you were so expected to play Game Boy Advance games in direct sunlight that there is a sunlight sensor in the Game Boy Advance.
I'm not sure if it's in the Game Boy Advance. Are you talking about Booktie?
I don't know. RetroArch just has like a button to be like, press this button for the sunlight sensor to detect sunlight.
Yes. So Booktie actually had a sunlight sensor in the cartridge. And that's a game where like it's actually another, I guess, vampire or zombie slaying game, where you charge up your laser with the power of the literal sun.
What the fuck?
So you could have the power of the sun in the palms of your hands and destroy zombies and vampires with them. And that was a Hideo Kojima game.
Oh, okay. Now that makes sense. That was a hell of an ending statement. I'm not surprised at any of this anymore.
Yep. If that puts two and two together for you, there were three of those games on the Game Boy Advance. We got two of them in the West.
Oh my God! What?
What are you surprised about? The instant the words Hideo Kojima came out of his mouth, I was like, oh, okay, no, that checks out.
No, I know, there's just so much there. There's so much to unpack.
Hideo Kojima wanted you to go outside and touch grass, all right?
That's weird, because I've gotten the opposite from every other game he's made since then.
Metal Gear Solid 2 was kind of...
Death Stranding is a game about how being outside will kill you.
No, it's a game about how much life sucks when being outside will kill you.
Yeah, i.e. all the time.
Well, do we have anything else we could say about Harmony of Dissonance?
I'm out. I think it's fine. It ain't great, but it's fine.
It was actually quite enjoyable up until the point where like I ran out of room to explore and I was just supposed to backtrack, go through the new castle. And I just didn't feel like I was progressing anymore. I felt like I was just lost, and that wasn't fun. But up until then, it was actually, I was enjoying it quite a bit. And so I'm hopeful that Aria of Sorrow delivers.
I am too. It's Aria of Sorrow is regularly listed on like those the best GBA games of all time lists. And I really hope that they're right. I don't want to have to come onto this show next episode and be like, yeah, so Aria of Sorrow sucks.
Yeah, huh? So can I break kayfabe for a sec? Are people going to think that the April Fool's joke here is that we're saying Castlevania's bad?
I hope not.
I hope not.
No, I mean it.
Like that's the biggest thing I've been thinking through all this. Like, I didn't want to come here and be like, oh, Castlevania, what a bad franchise. I was really not expecting things to go this way.
Oh. And Aria of Sorrow looks like he can wield a gun. So I'm looking forward to that.
So this will be the best Castlevania game I've ever played. Fuck, that's all I needed to hear. Everybody knows it's only a good game if you can pick up a gun.
With his B button, he wields a gun.
Well, with that, I think that's going to wrap up the Harmony of Dissonance episode for the Connectivity Castlevania Game Club. If you would like to write in and tell us what your favorite video game that lets you wield a gun is, you can email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Or if you've just got anything to say about, like, maybe we're just wrong. We're the children that are wrong.
I'm not wrong. I want it on the record. I'm the one that was like, yeah, game's pretty all right. I want that on the record. I'm not wrong.
We'll be back next time with the next game in the Game Boy Advance collection, Castlevania Aria of Sorrow. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.